Today is Tuesday, 7th August 2012. I welcome you for this Bhagavad Gita class. We will first start with the prayers. So please chant with me. Together we are going to read all these prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahayam Dadati Sva Padantikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyavacha Patita Nama Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we are going to discuss the fifth one, the fifth section of the second chapter, the last section. Just to recap, so far we have finished the four sections, namely the doubts, the knowledge, the Sakama Karma or Karma Kanda and Nishkama Karma or Buddhi Yoga. So now today we are going to go into the last section of the second chapter, which is like a Krishna gives a final, you know, solution, a final instruction for us to follow. And if we follow that, then we achieve the highest. We become like what we are going to discuss. And this fifth section is called, Who is Sthita Prajna? Sthita Prajna. Sthita means fixed. And Prajna means intelligent. Who is having this fixed intelligence? Of course, a positive one. Because we have a lot of people with fixed intelligence, but it is of no use. And as I said, Bhagavad Gita is nothing but positive, you know. Throughout it is just talks about positive things. So when Krishna describes to Arjuna all the Nishkama Karma, Buddhi Yoga, everything, then Arjuna asks this question. You know, he wants to know more details. And you can see from 54 all the way to 72. So 19 shlokas. I mean, Arjuna speaks one and the Krishna speaks 18. And he gives the synopsis of the whole Bhagavad Gita, you know. That's why it is called Contents of Gita Summarized. So this is where, so if you really see now as we read, it's going to be each and every verse requires at least half an hour to 1 hour of explanation. But we are going to run through this and just get the feel of it, you know. That's the very idea of this going chapter by chapter. We get the feel of it. And then we go into details. So, as is our practice, what will we do is, you know, we'll read it together so that, you know, you also take part in this whole thing. Please bear with me, I'll have to play around with this webcam thing. So please read with me. It is from 2.54 to 2.72. Arjuna said, O Krishna, what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? How does he speak? And what is his language? How does he sit? And how does he walk? The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Partha, when a man gives up all varieties of desires for sense gratification, which arise from mental concoction, and when his mind, thus purified, finds satisfaction in the self alone, then he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. One who is not disturbed in mind, even amidst the threefold miseries, or elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. In the material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. One who is able to withdraw his senses from sense objects, as the tortoise draws its limbs within the shell, is firmly fixed in perfect consciousness. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains, but seizing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste is fixed in consciousness. The senses are so strong and impetuous, O Arjuna, that they forcibly carry away the mind, even of a man of discrimination who is endeavoring to control them. One who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control, and fixes his consciousness upon me, is known as a man of steady intelligence. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them, and from such attachment, lust develops, and from lust, anger arises. From anger, complete delusion arises, and from delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost, and when intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material pool. But a person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. For one thus satisfied in Krishna consciousness, the threefold miseries of material existence exist no longer. In such satisfied consciousness, one's intelligence is soon well established. One who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? As a strong wind sweeps away a boat on the water, even one of the roaming senses on which the mind focuses can carry away a man's intelligence. Therefore, O mighty armed, one whose senses are restrained from their objects is certainly of steady intelligence. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. And the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. A person who has given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, who has given up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. That is the way of the spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. If one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So as you can see, they are very, very powerful statements by Krishna, you know. And also he took a little time to explain who exactly is this Sthita Pragya person. So he just didn't say in one shloka, he took 18 shlokas for him to describe, you know. And you see, as in the practice, he repeats many times, you know, because he re-emphasizes. So what is he talking here? Let's try to understand. As I said, we are not going to go into the full details, but we are going to get just the gist of it. So the question here is, Arjuna wants to know, actually, the very question says he wants to know everything about a person who is in steady intelligence, you know. He says, when we say, of course, where we are talking of intelligence here, it's spiritual intelligence. It's not our IQs and things like that, you know. That has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. That's all 100% material. And here we are talking of a spiritual life, okay. So, let's go back and see, you know. So his question is, how does this person speak? What is his language? How does he sit? How does he walk? You know, wants to know everything. And some may ask, what is this to do with the intelligence? Yes, of course it is. The way you move in your life, the way you speak, it makes a lot of difference, you know. You know, Prabhupada says that you can judge a person only when he opens his mouth. You know, till that time he may look very handsome or beautiful or whatever, you know. But when you start speaking, then you know what this person is. Sometimes you see a person not good looking, you know, in the material terms. But when they speak, oh my God, it can just capture you. So now, what is he asking? He's just not asking about some ordinary person. He's saying, one whose consciousness is merged in transcendence. That means he's always transcendental. Transcendental means beyond this material world, you know. That is what is called transcendence. Transcendence means to cross the barriers of this material world. That is what is transcendence. Okay. So now Krishna starts telling him. The first thing he says is, the person who gives up all varieties of desire, all varieties, yada kaman sarvan, all. Oh no, I can leave something, I can take something. You know, like for example, just I'm giving an example, you don't have to follow it if you are not ready for it. Like when Srila Prabhupada came here, when he started talking about Krishna consciousness and people started joining him, you know, started taking diksha from him, initiation from him, he put up this rule, you know, that he says, four regulative principles. No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and no sex outside marriage. These put the conditions. So if you have to follow, then you have to follow all, sarvan, all four. Lot of people told him, oh, you can just ask people to leave any one thing. And Prabhupada said, no. I have not come here for making numbers or something. I am not looking for numbers. I am looking for sincere souls who are ready to follow. This is prescribed by the scriptures. And I don't want to dilute it. You know. So he stood firm on that. So he can be you know, he had no sense gratification, desire for any sense gratification. He did everything for Krishna. I'm just giving an example. You can have your own examples. Okay. Then he says, Manogatan, you know, our mind plays games. So we have this mental concoction sometimes, you know, oh, this, there is no God, there is this, you know, I like thing like that, or it should be, could be like that. So then he says, though that person who has given up all the varieties, he finds satisfaction in self alone. Atmanya vetatmana, vetatmana, in self alone. Then he is in sthita pragya. And then he says, whose mind is not disturbed, even amid the threefold miseries. What are the threefold miseries? We discuss them. Adi atmika, adi bhautika, adi daivika. Adi atmika, the one caused by our own body and mind, especially mind, right? Our mind creates a lot of problems for us, a lot of miseries. The second is adi bhautika, the one created by the living entities around you, bhautika, all the material living entities, you know, your relatives, boss, this, that, dogs, neighbors, everybody, mosquitoes. And the third is adi daivika, floods, hurricanes, drought, caused by the devatas. That's why adi daivika. So then if you are happy, if you are not unnecessarily happy, okay, so then you are sthita prajna. And he gives three things here: attachment, fear and anger. If you self-analyze, you'll find that these are the three causes always, you know, right? So we have to live how? Without praising or without despising. You know, whatever comes to you, okay, whatever comes to you, you don't get too much elated by that. At the same time, don't become depressed by that, you know, because this is due to you anyway. So if you want to avoid all the stress and strain, just follow this instruction of Krishna. And then, it's a wonderful, you know, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, they're all full of wonderful examples. Here the example of a tortoise is given. A tortoise withdraws his limbs, right? So like that, we should be able to withdraw our senses. That way, and this can happen by practice. This can happen by engaging your senses in a spiritual way. You know, engaging your senses in Krishna consciousness, as we call it. It's a wonderful example. Because once we feel withdrawn, if you are not, like you are walking on street, you know, sometime, I'm just giving, or driving, there are big, big hoardings asking you to buy this, buy that, you know, women in bikinis and, you know, men with a very, you know, big cigarette in hand and thing like that, you know. Somebody holding a fork and knife and, you know, drink. But if you decide not to get affected by that, don't you drive past them and, you know, not affected? You have nothing to do with that, right? But if you start looking at each and everything and start getting this, which will come next, then there is a problem. So he says, we withdraw, but till we become pure, the attachment remains, you know. The test remains, right? You said, okay, I was drinking coffee, I am not drinking coffee, but then you remember coffee, you know. Oh, I'm missing my coffee. So how do you stop that? By engagements in a high, and get a higher taste. You know, once you get a higher taste, you stop the lower taste. You're not bothered about it. Like when we are children, small kids, if you're a boy, then you are enamored by cars, you know, and you have all these swanky car models at home, depending on, you know, where you are. But now, you developed a higher taste. If somebody gives a car, small little toy, then you would rather have a big toy, right? And if you are a like that, you know, like if we develop a higher taste for spiritual life, taste for transcendental life, then we can be fixed in consciousness. So this is again, you know, like give up, don't get affected, and then develop. So it's all positive thing, right? It's all positive things we are talking of right now and throughout. The senses are so strong that they carry the mind even of a man. Yeah, see, even when we become little better than what we were, still the senses are so strong that, you know, you get attracted, you get carried away. Even he says, even a man with a discrimination, like means who knows what is good and bad, you get carried away. Okay? Then again, he says, so what you have to do is you have to have full control. Full control. And that can again comes by abhyasa, practice, by obeying the orders of a spiritual master, you know. That's the system. Okay, this is now a wonderful how one thing leads to other. You have development and attachment to something, okay? Then you want that thing, and then when you want it and you don't get it, you become angry. And when you become angry, what happens? The mind is out of control. Right? Delusion. You get disturbed. You start thinking, oh my God, I want that. I want that job. How am I not getting it? I want that degree. I want that whatever. I want. And then, he says, when the delusion is there, then what happens? Bewilderment of memory. You know, your memory becomes bewildered. Why me? If there is God, why am I suffering? You know, all that questions come. And then what happens? Then your intelligence is lost. And then, once the intelligence is lost, you fall down again into your... You know, like this is for a person who has come to some level, but now he's not able to maintain, you know. It's not about a person who has never had anything like that. Okay. So what is the antidote of that? But a person free from all attachment and aversion. Attachment and aversion, that means you don't hate anything and you don't get attached to anything. You know, you just be neutral, equipoised. Then they are able to do how? By sadhana. Regulative principle. That's why we have this program, you know, like we listen to Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, chant our rounds, whatever number of rounds you have decided, do some puja, read something, read Bhagavad. So, all this is called regulative principles of freedom. It's a very interesting thing. Regulative means controlled. Freedom. How can they give freedom? How can any control give freedom? But such a wonderful spiritual life. Just to understand this, I would like to quote one small, you know, event. Just picturize this event in your mind, and that will just a minute, I think it's too dark here. Just visualize this. You are walking on the road, and you see a small, let's say teenage boy. He's on the roof, you know, at the edge of a roof almost, and he's trying to catch some kite or something, you know, some kite playing is there. He's trying to catch it, and you see that one more step he takes, he's going to fall down, and you stop him. You shout and say, hey, stop, don't take one more step, you'll be in trouble, you'll fall down. And the boy says, oh, how you are restricting my freedom, you know. He shouts back and says, come on, get lost. So now, by regulating him, by controlling him, are you giving him freedom or are you enslaving him? He will have a freedom to live further. if he follows the instruction, right? The same way, when we have this regulative principle, sadhana we call it, that means doing your minimum every day, that leads you to freedom from the material world, freedom from the attachments, you know. So, Krishna says that one who is satisfied this way by doing his sadhana, then the threefold miseries exist no longer. That means they will be there. Remember, in the 2.14, Krishna says, Matra sparshastu kaunteya. Like summer and winter, all this sukha and dukha will come and go. But don't get affected by that. Just learn to tolerate. The same way, once you are fixed there and you know that this is all part of the game, and you are not affected by this lust and attachment and so on, then you can lead a very happy, peaceful life. Because that's the prerequisite. That's the prerequisite. Krishna says, if you don't have that transcendental intelligence, you may have material intelligence, as I said, or your mind is not steady, then how there will be peace? And without peace, how can there be happiness? Because people ask, you know, you ask 100 people, what is that you want in life? And everybody will say happiness. Everybody will say, not everybody, but many may say peace. Happiness and peace go hand in hand. Okay? So if you want that happiness and peace, then what you have to do is, we have to develop this sthita pragya. We have to develop this, we have to practice it, we have to get it. Get a bona fide spiritual master or his representative. Ask questions submissively, serve him or her, and get this. That's the process. And then Krishna is just giving an example of, again, you know, he gave earlier an example of tortoise. Now he's saying, if a strong wind sweeps away a boat on the water, right? Even one of the roaming senses, see, we have so many senses, right? You may have four under control, but the fifth one, it just goes here and there, you know. So like a boat is getting swept away by the wind. So this one sense can sweep away all your intelligence, all our intelligence. And then, Krishna just like gives a conclusion now. Therefore, he says, one whose senses are restrained is certainly of steady intelligence. And then he gives a definition of a muni, you know. A muni is the one, for him, when we have night, he has a day. Day, a time of awakening, you know. That means he contemplates, not that he is awake whole night or something like that. That's not what Krishna says. Don't take it literally. The time of awakening for all beings is night for... See, when we are awakened intelligently, spiritually, then the muni can take rest, because otherwise the munis are always disturbed. They want the welfare of everybody, you know. They want that everybody should become Krishna conscious. So that is what Krishna is saying. That at that level you have to go, that where you get disturbed by others, you know, you disturb out of compassion. You are not personally disturbed, but you have this compassion. And then see, the third example, in just 13 shlokas you see so many examples, 18 shlokas. Now he's talking about the rivers. He says, these desires are just like rivers, you know, which are flowing into an ocean, right? Ocean, we are like an ocean and these desires flow into us. Okay? So he says, but the ocean, look at the ocean, so many rivers go into it, but it is just full. It is already full, it remains full. That means you also become like that. You don't get disturbed, you don't get carried away by small little things, by these attachments and etc. etc. Then only we can achieve peace. He said, not the man who strives to satisfy, you know. The person who is always satisfying his senses, how can he achieve peace? He may have a little glimpse of it here and there, but not in totality. So the person again he talks about two or three things. Who has given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, given up all sense of proprietorship. This is another most important. This ahankara and all sense of proprietorship. Let me see the Sanskrit for that. Nirmamo, nirahankaraha. Nirmamo. Mamo means mine. Mine, you know. Generally we say me and mine. I and mine, the biggest enemies, right? So this sense of propriety, that means I own this. This is mine. This is mine. I did this. This result is mine. This property is mine. This everything is mine. This is my wife. My, you know. So we have to give it up one day. Doesn't mean he's somebody else's wife or something like that. You are not the proprietor, you are not the owner. And then ahankara, the biggest enemy. You know, this is next to the soul is ahankara. Ahankara is the one which makes us think that we are this body, thinks that we are Americans and Indians and this and that. This is ahankara. Then Krishna says he alone can attain real peace. If you devoid, you know, you just get away. Ahankara, nirahankara, nirahankara, shanti madi gacchati, he gets peace, real peace. And finally Krishna says, that is the way of the spiritual and godly life. That is the way to live. People ask, how can we achieve this? So here Krishna is telling. Once we achieve that, then he says, no bewilderment. If one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, why? What happens at the hour of death? We'll discuss that later, you know, when the 8th chapter comes. Brahma nirvana mrachati antakalepi. Antakalepi means when at the time of leaving this body. Incidentally, I request all of you to one time at least read the last shloka of each chapter starting from this chapter, you know. Last shloka, like this one. That is the way of the spiritual and godly life. So, if you read that, you will find that every single shloka from here to chapter 17 gives the same message. In other words, at the end of the chapter, Krishna always summarizes like that, you know. He gives a final process which can help us. So I hope now we got some idea of the second chapter. So I'd like to stop here. If you have any comments or questions, we can take that up. Thank you so much. Yes, please.